This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. This could be the slogan of Jesus' ministry, leveled as a criticism but owned by Jesus with pride. This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. Notice that Jesus does not argue about the Pharisees' description of the people he's associating with. It seems he agrees they are indeed sinners. Tax collectors, and quite literally, God only knows who else. Prostitutes, surely, there's lots of stories about that, but the rest are left up to our imagination. One biblical translation called them notorious sinners. Murderers, perhaps. Thieves, human traffickers, corrupt officers, fraudulent bankers, abusers, polluters, terrorists, racists and bigots of all kinds. I don't really like the idea of Jesus welcoming sinners like that. Sinners like me, sure. You know, tax collectors, the odd prostitute, the weak-willed, the occasionally thoughtless or dishonest, the hard-hearted and hard-headed, the lazy and the selfish. The Pharisees are just ridiculous snobs, completely lacking in any self-awareness if they object to being invited to dinner with sinners like me. But I can't really blame them for not wanting to dine with the sinners off that first list. It's not really a dinner party I want to attend either. Years ago, when I was ministering in Montreal, I had the privilege of working with a deacon, Peter Hewish, who had been a prison chaplain for decades, and who ran a nonprofit organization that helped people reintegrate into the community once they were released from prison. These were not easy kinds of sinners. In fact, one of the programs was specifically for people who had committed sexual offenses. Peter and his volunteers regularly have dinner with notorious sinners. And over those years, what he has learned and what he tried so hard to teach the rest of us is that notorious sinners just aren't that different from the more run-of-the-mill kind that the rest of us are, which is perhaps why so many of us don't want to eat with them. That's a lesson we'd rather not learn. And so we pick and choose which kind of sinners we'll associate with, generally preferring the ones we can reframe as either victims or sick. And we tend to shy away from the language of sin altogether, with its theological baggage of original sin and wretchedness and gnashing of teeth, and its political baggage of shame-based social control. But we are followers of Jesus. And Jesus did not shy away from sin. He named it. And then he ate with sinners and didn't pretend they were otherwise. He called on everyone to repent in order to be ready to receive the kingdom of God. He forgave people their sins, regardless of what those sins might be, and he released them with orders to live new lives. And we are called both to receive that ministry from Jesus, to repent, to receive forgiveness and the freedom that comes with it, and also to share in that ministry with Jesus, to welcome sinners and eat with them, to call them to repentance and to forgive them, all of the sinners. Now, fortunately, for all of humanity, God's forgiveness is not contingent on us in any way. God doesn't need us to do anything to allow God to act. And one of the reasons I love baptizing babies is because they make this truth so apparent. In baptism, our sins are washed away and we are made new in Christ. And when an adult is baptized, well, that kind of makes sense. Certainly they have sins to wash away. They're in need of a fresh start. But babies just started. Babies are by definition fresh. Aside from the basic human realities of being selfish and demanding, and maybe some other sermon down the road will talk about the idea of original sin, babies can't possibly have anything to be forgiven yet. And it all hangs on that yet. Babies make it clear that God's forgiveness is total, because God forgives even those sins they haven't yet committed. And who knows? Any particular baby could turn out to be one of those notorious sinner types. But God doesn't wait. God doesn't need to wait to find out. God doesn't need to wait for us to welcome them. God simply forgives them in advance. God promises in advance to find them no matter what. So where then does that leave repentance? The act of recognizing your sin, of being sorry, and of turning to new ways of living. If God forgives in advance, completely independent of human action, do we even need to repent at all? Well, my answer to that, as to many things, is no, but yes. Consider the sheep or the coin. They did not ask to be found. The person who valued them simply went looking. And God's forgiveness is given that freely. When we are lost, God finds us. But unfortunately, we are neither sheep nor coins. And so, found or not, we can refuse to return to the fold or the coin purse. We can interrupt the story and change the ending, preventing the celebration that follows the restoration of that which was lost. Some people don't know they've been found because they don't know they were lost in the first place. Some people can't believe they've been found because they believe that they deserve to stay lost. And some people don't feel themselves to be found because everyone around them behaves like they're still lost. But they are all still found, all forgiven. They just aren't free. In a few minutes, we will be invited to make a confession of our sins, and then I will stand up. And as the person designated as priest by the church, I will pronounce God's forgiveness for you. And when I do that, I am acting as a sign, as an icon of God's action. An action which neither begins nor ends with my words. An action that is not magicked into existence by me, because God does not need me in order to forgive you. But it can be so helpful for us as humans to be able to see and hear that which is invisible and inaudible. And this is not just the function of the priest. It is the function of the whole body of Christ, serving as priest to the world, to reveal and rejoice in that true condition. Once lost, but now found. We are to welcome sinners and eat with them. The sinners already gathered together this morning. Hi, folks. And the sinners yet to be invited to dinner. Like Jesus, we are to do so with open eyes, not pretending that they or we are anything other than what we are. We are to call one another and the whole world to repentance and newness of life, to be accountable to one another and to support one another, but also always holding out the assurance of God's abiding forgiveness and being ready to join in the celebration each and every time what was lost is found and returned to its rightful home. This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. Thanks be to God.